Easy, fellas. Hear me out a second. Just give me a chance to talk, okay?
What do you want to talk about?
Something near and dear to my heart. Money.
Money? Money's good?
Yeah.
Money makes the world go round. Go ahead, start talking.
First of all, there's no reason for any of this to be happening. Whatever happened to that kid, I'm sure he deserved it. That's your business. That's your business. Nobody's going to the police. All we want to do is get home.
Home is where the heart is, right?
Excuse me for a minute. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't you say something about money?
Yeah, I did. How about $100,000 cash? Then we go our separate ways.
You can raise that kind of money?
Yes, I can.
Wow. Let me ask you something. Those shoes, what are those, Italian?
Yeah, they're actually Italian running shoes. Actually kind of working well for me this evening.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And your dad's what? He's a stockbroker?
Something like that. See, but I'm a self-made guy. I'm a self-starter. Just like you.
Yeah, that's funny. Because these guys are always saying that to me.
Hey, that's why we hang with them.
Self-made,
you know?
Man.
You just name the place. Tomorrow morning the cash will be there. In the meantime, how about a little deposit?
Mm-hmm. May I see that? It's a beautiful ring. Let's take a look at this, man. Check this out.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man.
Take this home to your girl.
Tell me something, how much is a ring like that worth?
Retail, it's $15,000. But for you guys, call it down payment. Under the table.
You know, I think we can cut a deal here.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
You're pretty good. What's your name? Ray. Yeah. You're a good negotiator. Because you didn't even lowball me.
I'm going to come in here and lowball you. Forget about that.
Well, you know, because the thing is, I got to trust you. There's the payment of the money, and then there's your friends keeping their mouths shut, you know.
No, hold on. We're businessmen, both of us. We have an understanding.
Oh. Let me tell you something, Ray. You don't understand shit, okay? Nothing. Guys like you got to keep checking your pants to see if you got a dick. I got one. You and your friends are the kind of spoon-fed fucking fruit bait that I fucking hate!
I don't think he understood me.
Shut the fuck up! You speak when fucking spoken to, okay? This is not fucking high school, motherfucker! I'll eat your fucking friends for fucking lunch! You know who we are? No, you have no fucking idea, do you? No, chicks like you, you just sail through life reading about people like me in the newspaper. Hey! You're in a different place now, motherfucker. Yeah, $100,000 I buy you out on the North Shore down here, pussy, that means shit! This is my fucking world!
Baby oil and blow.
That was cool. I like that a lot.
I was doing that when I stuck my finger up. A lot of people don't know this, but I'm doing that whole Wayne's World thing every time we go into this with a 5-4-3 silent 2 silent 1, and then you stick your finger up really dramatically. Learn that from Wayne's World.
Yeah, but this ain't Wayne's World.
Wayne's World party.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar.
That girl was my favorite actress in the whole movie.
All of them.
That was her big moment, hanging out in the back of that car, and she got to say that.
That's where you want to be, man. In the back of that car.
Aurora, Illinois. That's where you want
to
be.
Aurora. I used to drive by that big old spike with the cars on it.
Oh, yeah, that's not a thing.
No, it is. I used to drive past it all the time for work.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it's actually in Cicero.
Okay, I knew it wasn't in Aurora.
Nope. Yeah. Berwyn, technically, I think.
Berwyn? Yeah. Nobody's ever been to Berwyn now. I know you're lying.
No, it's true. It's true.
That's a whole joke on that one guy's show with the rubber chickens and whatnot.
Svengoolie.
Ooh, the second Svengoolie. That's his name.
Yep. Son of Svengoolie.
Shout out to Berwyn, Illinois. I guess you're a real town.
It's where my father was born.
Real joke of a town.
There's a hospital there, or was. It might not be there anymore.
Haunted, abandoned hospital, probably.
But hey, guess what? It's me, big time, Matt O. With me, you're going to be Amish roadkill to my Danny Doring?
Ooh, that's okay. Yeah, that fits into the whole chickens thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
I got a big beard. I could do that.
Natonio Adams.
Chickens. Nice. And ahoy hoy, everybody.
Chick ahoy hoy. We lost another friend of the show.
Oh, fucking Chicago legend of the stage, John Mahoney.
Yeah, Frasier's dad.
Passed away today, a.k.a. Frasier's dad, a.k.a. Drunk man from Barton Fink. I was just looking at that before you got over here. That was a great R-rated movie, I'll tell you that much, and he really made it. Yeah. Jesus, these people are dropping like flies. I feel like we got a new R.I.P.D. whatever celebrity every goddamn week coming in here.
R.I.P.D., great film.
Wait.
Hmm?
Oh, did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should talk about that a little
bit. Just want to talk to me about it for an hour? I'm guessing you didn't see it.
No. Yeah. So how is the movie?
Good.
Yeah, real good. Was that a Ryan Reynolds joint?
That was a Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Bridges.
Jeff. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jeff Bridges. Why were you in that, man?
Because he was writing his, like...
Once upon a time, you were Tucker, a man in his dream. Now this?
He was right in the middle of his cowboy phase, and he got to keep it going.
That's true. He did just have that cowboy look going. He's like, might as well not cut my hair and just keep motoring through all these...
Ryan Reynolds. I'm dead. You're dead.
Saw a real good Jeff Bridges movie a couple days ago called... The Last American Hero, where he was started off as being a bootlegger. It was sort of like
the
episode of the Dukes of Hazzard, but then his dad got thrown in jail and their bootlegging business got shut down.
Who played the dad? That could be pivotal for me.
You know, I was drunk when I was watching this, and I'm drunk now, so I'm not going to be able to pull out names other than Jeff Bridges. It actually took me a good 10 seconds even to come out with the name of this movie and a basic plot line of what it was. But then after that got shut down, he became a stock car racer, and then there was a bunch of stock car racing going on.
I'm familiar with said film.
Got a little boring. Apparently it was about a real guy. It seemed ridiculous to me.
Come on. It's where stock car got its start, man. Out of the bootlegging in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's some
Tennessee bootlegging
shit. You know, sort of tie that back into our hillbilly episode from last week. Why isn't there any stock car fucking moonshine running wrestlers down in those southern wrestling promotions? I feel like that would work out great.
Because he accidentally signed up north.
Well, I'm ready to go racing. I'm ready to do it. Hello, everybody. My name is Thurman Plug, but my friends, they call me Sparky. You call me Sparky, too. I'm so excited about being here, but do you know what I like most about being here? Is when I'm strapped in the seat of that race car and I'm flying down that straightaway and they drop that green flag, I pedal to the metal. Just like when I come to the World Wrestling Federation, I'm gonna walk down that aisle, and when I get in the ring and when they ring that bell, I'm gonna be wide open, pedal to the metal, and ain't nobody gonna stop. Sparky Plug.
No, Sparky Plug, is that who you're talking about?
I'm talking about Bob Thurman himself.
It took
himself.
Vince to do it, and it took him to the mid-90s to do it. That's shameful.
Yeah.
All you fucking Southern promoters that went out of business in the late 80s, maybe if you had some moonshine fucking running wrestlers, you would have been tapping into, what your audience, can relate to. You got to get in their day-to-day lives and do shit that they can relate to,
Somebody couldn't be wrestling with a Richard Petty or Dale Earnhardt type mustache?
Yeah, you see the looks. They got these faraway eyes, these people in these Southern wrestling audiences. They're not on some white lightning in the parking lot before they're going into these arenas.
It up.
These auditoriums and arenas. We got some real rum runners. I know it.
But we're not in the South this week, are we?
This week, we're back up north. We're watching that primetime wrestling. Vinnie Mac show hosted by Bobby the Brain Heenan and Le Gorilla Monsoon.
Is that how you really say gorilla?
That's how you say but then I don't know what the real French word for gorilla is.
Don't matter.
I'm just trying to make them sound fancy.
That was nice, though.
This is from January. We're still in January. Still the beginning of the year. 12th. Not the 11th. It's not that Monday.
Nope, it's
something
a Tuesday.
Happened to that Monday. We're on a Tuesday.
Was it a dog show time?
1988. Might have been dog show. I keep meaning to look it up, but I never do it.
Doesn't matter.
I got a busy life, man.
Yeah.
I can't be binging dog shows from 1988 all the live long day. I got a to-do list every morning, and I'll tell you what, I never get to the end of it.
Oh, no.
It's stressful.
Oh, God.
It's stressful.
Oh, jeez.
You want to get into that rundown?
every day of my life.
All day, every day, all run dirt? Down starring Stifler and The Rock. Go rent it, bitch.
Ooh, yeah, you guys are all like, oh, The Rock's in this movie. Oh, The Rock's in this movie. Jumanji, Skyscraper. Show a little appreciation.
Oh, one-legged John McClane movie?
One-legged cool. John McClane
I'll watch
movie.
That eventually, but yeah. Have you seen The Rundown yet?
Yeah, right?
Get into The Rundown before you do anything else.
And don't even talk
first
to me.
Things first.
Don't even talk to me if you haven't seen Walking Tall yet.
Oh, we're going to get some of that Walking Tall money soon, I would imagine.
And then finish it up with a couple of the Walking Tall sequels
they do
with
like a nice
Kevin Sorbo.
4K release of that Walking Tall remake.
Oh, yeah.
We're definitely going to be promoting that shit out here. They need to get that shit going. First match of this episode of Primetime Wrestling. Bret the Hitman Hart.
Never heard of
him. One half of the Hart Foundation. He's in there against Paul Roma, one half of the Young Stallions.
They're no Wild Stallions.
They're certainly not. Probably if they had a little thing where they did like some air guitar synchronized or just anything that wasn't them coming out in matching coats, they would have been a much more exciting tag team.
Excellent!
Hart wins with two of his five moves of doom, the backbreaker into that second rope elbow. That's all it took back then. Back then, that's all it took.
Simpler times.
The Ultimate Warrior is in our second match. He's in there against the once and future Brooklyn Brawler, Steve Lombardi. Jobber to the stars. Warrior wins after a gorilla press. Mind you, not really a gorilla press, and then is like very exaggerated bouncing off the ropes and then big splash. It was kind of awkward. He didn't really know he was going to end the match, it seemed like, and he decided to, and then it was over.
Oh, yeah, nope, it's done.
Warrior's a little green. Third match, the Birdman, Coco Beware, in there with Canada's premier athlete, Iron Mike Sharp. Coco Beware, he wins it with that Ghostbuster, son.
How many matches
we got?
Thus ends Mike Sharp's illustrious win streak.
One win streak. It was beautiful while it lasted. Glory days.
So good.
Dan Spivey, he's in that fourth match. He's in there against Leaping Lanny.
They're still calling him the Golden
Our old
Boy.
Old boy, Leaping Lanny Poffo. Not yet the genius. I was kind of surprised about that. Kind of surprised that Danny Spivey's still hanging around as the Golden Boy.
Yep.
He's got a very severe mullet in 1988, though, so he no longer
spot on.
Looks like the off-brand Hulk Hogan, so I guess that's working for him. Spivey wins after a neck breaker. Cowboy Lang, he's a little man.
Oh, yeah.
There with another little man, Lord Littlebrook.
Kramer, should I call Susan? Now, what does the little man inside you say? See, you gotta listen to the little man.
My little man doesn't know.
The little man knows all.
My little man's an idiot.
Lang wins with some kind of fancy European roll-up.
Sideways roll-up,
yeah. Things where he jumps through and he kind of hooks his ankles with his ankles. I don't know. You've probably seen Johnny Saint do it a million times if you live across the seas. I don't live across the seas. I'm here in, you know, the Midwest, the heartland, city of big shoulders. We're just...
I'm back.
Killing cows.
Back in the New York groove.
Watching catch wrestling? Give me a break.
I do.
Big time main event. You know what's good about these northern shows?
Oh, hell yeah.
We're already done. We got to our last match. It's not like those WCW episodes where we got 12 matches.
12
to
matches?
Talk about. Give me a break. Demolition, the Axer, the Smasher, their big time manager, Mr. Fuji. They're in there against Billy Jack Haynes.
My guy.
Our old friend from 1985 WCW, the Oregon Ninja, showing up here in WWF 1988 alongside his cousin.
That's right.
Fighting cousins, Brady Boone.
Real life cousin.
They had some good chemistry together. You could tell. These guys grew up fussing and fighting, but nonetheless, demolition.
Sorry. Who are they accompanied with on the outside, though?
I don't know. Is there somebody out there?
Kenny Patera.
Ken Patera was out there?
Yeah, he was the one in an arm sling.
I missed that entirely.
Yeah.
I was not paying attention.
There was no reason for it.
Either way, Smash pins Boone with a stun gun.
Here come the axe.
Picked him up, dropped him on that top rope neck first. Yeah, he couldn't breathe anymore.
It was wicked awesome.
He got pinned. After the rundown, you know how it goes.
He got pinned.
We run down.
He got pinned by his own son.
You know what happened, and then we're going to dig into it a little bit deeper. We're going to get out those pickaxes, get out those shovels, working on the chain gang. Taking my shirt off over here, boss.
Yeah, taking my shirt off, boss. What's your number one
in this five count? This five countdown points of talking.
Taking a shirt off, boss.
Opening a second beer, boss.
Oh, opening a second beer up over here, boss.
You got some booze in you, so I got to hurry up.
Oh, yeah.
Get more in my veins.
Keep going. I'm going to, there's a little flask of whiskey we got going nice. Here.
Take a pull.
Someday we're going to get around to this five count.
Yo, let's start it now.
Okay.
Okay, my first point.
Oh, you got one? Okay.
It's going to go out to whoever was the gentleman that said, hey, let's just have the warrior run to the ring and just squash people in 15 seconds. That's my number one.
We think that was probably Vince McMahon, I would assume.
I don't know who it was, but whoever it was gets my number one.
Ripped to shit moron in face paint. And he's like, well, these tassels in this face paint's going to get over, so.
Because what we're going to do right now.
Beat the shit out of people.
We're just going to pick apart everything that wasn't an Ultimate Warrior match.
Okay.
In this Ultimate Warrior match.
I was going to say, I was about to start jumping in and being like, all right, I want to talk a little bit later about how this match went on too long. I'm surprised you're in here talking about how great 15-second squashes are, because that's not what this was.
You're burying the lead here. The biggest problem with the match.
Mm-hmm.
What was that music he came out to?
Okay, very early Ultimate Warrior. They did not yet have the music nailed down. I'm not going to fault them for that. This is his first program. We're figuring it out. He did not yet have his full-on sprint to the ring thing down. So.
He, like, walked halfway.
However, once he got there and he started shaking those ropes, people were going nuts. Instantly, that shaking the ropes thing is over. Like, this guy is a fucking... He's a goddamn spectacle. He's something to look at. And
what
all these Frenchies in this Parisian audience were losing their goddamn mind. They never seen somebody so yoked on steroids. And he starts shaking those ropes. And they're like, well, this guy's a new superstar. I don't even care that he doesn't have his match style or his fucking music yet.
His boots were cool. He didn't have the tassels yet. But he just had white boots with white boots. Multiple warrior symbols on them.
A couple tassels tied around his knee pads, though. It was approximating the look that he eventually
The look wasn't too off. The hair wasn't quite there.
He's getting there. He's almost the Ultimate Warrior we all grew to love. We're talking a little proto-warrior right here. He's a little baby warrior.
He sold and sold and sold in this match to the Brooklyn Brawler. Why?
Well, yeah, that's what I got down here as one of my talking points, too, is just Warrior comes out, he's looking strong, people are into him, he's hitting some power moves, people are cheering, and then Brawler takes over and starts doing his shit.
And they all go to sleep.
And, I mean, not only is it wrong to have this gigantic brute of a man who's doing all these amazing Tarzan yells during the match come out here and not just destroy this guy, but have a competitive match and sell for him. But he's not good at selling either.
He's really bad at it.
Especially if you don't do it. If you got a guy who just like is, what this guy's good at is looking like a jacked up moron and that's it. Well, certainly you don't have him start, you know, trying to register pain and sell drama.
We all know he didn't learn to sell until his feud with Papa Shango.
Oh, I mean, it's pretty hard not to sell when you've got some shoot magic goop dripping out of your hairline. I mean,
that was real.
You're puking up some shoot green foam.
That was real.
Pretty hard not to sell that shit.
We're back in the Open Warriors dressing room, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, he is suffering severe abdominal pain. The attending physician there to help him out, along with a number of his friends, the Open Warrior. Oh, unfortunately. Let's go back out to ringside. This is unfortunate.
Man.
I think maybe Papa Shango was just giving him a receipt for all the months he was doing and not selling for all these other WWF superstars.
I watched this match today.
Mm-hmm.
And we hung out just last Friday.
Okay.
If you would have told me at the bar on Friday, or asked, hey, Matt, you remember that time that Ultimate Warrior sold all that offense to Brooklyn Brawler?
Yeah.
I'd be like, such a thing never happened. My friend Nate.
Nay, nay.
And then, I watched this episode of Primetime Wrestling, and there he was, laying down.
Yeah, so basically what's going on here is we haven't figured out what works for the Warrior yet. He doesn't sell ever. You never get any moves on him ever. He needs to run always.
Always.
He needs to have a big build-up to his gorilla press, and then like he pumps his arms and his legs a bunch, and then he hits both the ropes, and then he does a big splash so people will know that the match is over, and then they can pop for the pin. Right here, he just like picked the guy up and then dropped him and then like looked around like, I don't know if I'm going to pin him or not.
So well, he looked like he was,
put his knee down for a
he
second.
He looked like he was going to do like that running splash.
And then he stood up and then he put his foot on him and then the pin. And at that point, the people didn't know the match is over, so they didn't pop at all. So after they were like big into it for all his big shit, at the exact moment when they were supposed to be the most into it, they were just like, well, what's he doing? I can't figure out what he's doing.
Oh, he's pinning him. It's over.
Oh, match is over? Well, that didn't look like a finisher to me. I don't know.
He like...
Whatever. I got those tassels, though.
He got like the... With the three count, he got the one while he was laying on him. And then the two and three happened when he stood up and put his foot on him. Nice. It didn't make a whole lot of sense.
This guy, he's infamously a dum-dum. Sure.
You want to know another way that I could tell that this was not a good Warrior match?
Okay. I mean, I don't... At this point, it just seems like a solid presentation. I don't know what other complaints you could possibly have.
There was a glaring omission from the Warrior repertoire.
The snort? You didn't do any snorts?
No. He wasn't gassed once this entire match.
Oh, yeah. We got a young Warrior here.
Yeah.
He's, I don't know, maybe he needs to put on another good, like, 10 to 20 pounds of just steroid weight so that... Yeah. Also, just not running the entire way down to the
ring. He didn't run.
Probably factored into it.
They were like doing rest holds
and
stuff.
He's going to get a little bit bigger sometime here. He's already gigantic. He's fucking huge.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to get a little bit bigger. All this is going to add up, and then you're going to get that classic Ultimate Warrior, well, I'm too tired to finish that match.
Yeah.
Style that he became known for, which we all love so
dear. I love
dear.
That guy so much,
love
man.
So dear.
I love him so much.
He's just like a little... like yapping puppy. You get so excited and he's running around, everybody's coming over for
cute.
A big Christmas dinner.
He's gonna lay down and take
and then,
a nap on you pretty
halfway
soon.
Halfway through dinner, that dog didn't even make it to the end.
No.
He's passed out somewhere in the corner. Stupid little Ultimate Warrior Chihuahua dog.
What was with Gorilla Monsoon talking about how much money it costs to keep those kinds of muscles?
Well, we got a little bit later of him talking about how he got the bill back from when him and Bobby Heenan were at the casino.
Yeah.
And Heenan was just signing off all in a famously Gorilla Monsoon, a very high roller at all the casinos, very well liked.
Everybody knows.
Gambling establishment. So I'm thinking right before we filmed this shit, he just fucking had a bad week at the casinos, lost his ass, was completely bitter about it, and just like anything he could get back to just wasting money, he was doing it. So he was like, oh, that guy's probably spending a lot of money on steroids. Bobby Heenan's getting a lot of fucking room service and we're going to these. Sorry the crafts table didn't work out for you this week, Gorilla Monsoon, you know?
Yeah, if you would have let him bring Miss Betty along on the trip, he wouldn't have had to order all that room service.
I was thinking about maybe, I didn't know if we were going to get into this or not, so... I was kind of wanting to talk about that Warrior match too, so I'm just going to make my number one just asking you, did you watch this close enough to catch on to who Miss Betty was? Because the entire episode, Bobby Heenan just keeps talking about Miss Betty and he keeps calling Miss Betty, and I was just like, did I miss this? Who is Miss Betty? What is he talking about?
Man, you're falling apart here. This is like the fourth week he's talked about her.
He keeps talking about Miss Betty.
Yeah, that Christmas episode.
Who is Miss Betty?
He was talking about Miss Betty back in 86 when that Christmas episode.
Yeah, who is she?
They never say.
So this is just an ongoing joke he's doing.
After Mean Gene picks his wallet,
He
calls Miss Betty to bring cash down to the studio so he can pay the fellas.
I remember him calling somebody.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
It's always Miss Betty.
Mythical figure.
That's why he's always got the phone there. Whenever he's on the phone, he's calling Miss Betty.
So this is who he's putting all the heat on. Whenever something's going wrong, whenever something's supposed to happen that like he didn't do, it's always that Miss Betty was supposed to do it,
right,
and it's her fault.
Yeah.
And this is the running joke. Okay. Whew, I was very confused.
I don't know if he's tagging that. I don't know if it's a family member.
I gotta imagine she's one of those like Porky sisters that he always had stripping on the Bobby Heenan show. I don't remember what their names were, but they came on later when Raw was happening, and there were some of those Raw girls, but they were like the Porky ones. Gave him a chance to make all those fat girl jokes that he loves to make so much.
Spur of the moment, three
probably
count.
One of them is Betty.
Spur of the moment, three count.
Uh huh.
Top three Raw theme songs. Oh, go.
The Nickelback one. Uh-huh. The Stained one. The Puddle of Mud one.
No, one of those was real.
They weren't all real.
You were looking for...
I could have sworn
they were
all real.
I believe you were looking
real.
For Papa Roach.
Shinedown? Is there a Papa Shinedown Roach? One? Okay, Papa Roach is definitely in my top three. Whoa, whoa. Nickelback, Papa Roach, Shinedown.
Hmm. I like that first. What's the... Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think that was like a legitimate band. I think that was just somebody Jim Johnson had either hollering way. In a studio. So Marilyn, it was clearly the best because it wasn't some dumb new metal singer.
I'm sorry, Marilyn Manson's Beautiful People doesn't make your cut?
No, it was only a Raw fucking thing for like a week. It's more of a SmackDown theme as far as I'm concerned. It's the best SmackDown theme. Yeah, that's...
Probably. You, sir, have just ruined my dinner.
Next to Drowning Pools, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, fucking Marilyn Manson's Beautiful People is best song ever written.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Miss Betty, okay, got it nailed down. Yep. That's who Bobby Heenan's putting all his heat on.
Oh, Miss Betty, bam, so lam, confused. Oh, Miss Betty, lam,
so
lam.
Confused. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about that Bret Hart and Paul Roma match. That
yeah, let's talk about
thing,
it.
Because it was so long.
It really
it
was.
It went on forever. And there was just no personality to it or whatnot. We've talked about what a great workman Bret Hart is. Now his matches are always so believable. And you can... Everything makes sense. Everything looks good. And Paul Roma was sticking right with him, too. Like, they just had a great athletic contest. And good God, was it boring.
Right? Yeah, that's what
killed
me.
Who just wants to watch two generic wrestlers wrestle for no reason?
Out-generic each other.
For 25 minutes. And then, after this, then you have Coco Beware, who we have called the perfect good guy.
Oh,
he's
God.
Got all sorts of weird mannerisms. He's got... all sorts of weird catchphrases. He does that gospel singing thing. He's got his cool fucking theme music. He's got his bird that he comes out
with. We'll just do a one and two.
There's
here.
A million reasons to cheer for this guy. And he's in there with the ultimate bad guy, Iron Mike Sharp, always jawing at the audience, always just being a piece of shit coward, begging off, always being braggadocious whenever he gets those momentary moments of like... being on top, he's just plain, wearing all black, he's boring, you hate him. You got every reason to boo him. Greatest good guy, greatest bad guy. Anybody who could just watch this cold and just be like, I'm into this match. And what do? You join this in progress. Why do we keep getting only half of Iron Mike Sharp's matches when Iron Mike Sharp is the best wrestler on the roster?
Yeah, this is in my points as well. It might be my three or whatever, but we're going to talk about it right now. Not only did they join it in progress, they gave you like the last 15 seconds of the match.
It was
way too short.
I know Iron Mike Sharp was doing all sorts of great shit in that match before he got
pinned with that
Ghostbuster.
We didn't even get to see him threaten to walk all the way backstage.
I know that he did that at some point.
Yeah.
I know that he was like in big arguments with old ladies when he was announced to the ring. I know he was in arguments with the announcer when he was not pronounced Canada's premier athlete.
Absolutely.
I want to see all that shit.
I got to give... some fine folks in the audience a little bit of credit in this match, though.
Oh, these Frenchies?
Oh. What's wrong, Ma Michelle?
Oh, Sylvie? I can't stop thinking about Tony. Wondering where I could be. Who he is with. What is he thinking? Is he thinking of me? And whether he'll ever return someday?
Oh, Michelle. You have to stop lying awake wondering about Tony, wondering where he is, who he could be with, what he's thinking, if he's thinking of you, and whether he'll ever return one day.
Oh. What?
Upstairs, we're having a fabulous party, but we've run out of wine. so I am forced to borrow a bottle of yours. My God, it stinks in here. It stinks of stupid women wondering about Tony. Wondering where he could be, who he is with, what he's thinking, whether he's thinking of you, and if you'll ever return someday.
No, get...
Forget him.
He's stupid.
No.
Michelle, are you crying?
No, I am not crying. I'm just thinking about Tony. Wondering where he could be, who he is with. What is he thinking? Is he thinking of me? And whether he'll ever return someday.
Sorry, what did you say?
Oh, I was just saying that I was thinking about Tony. You know, wondering where he could be, who he is with.
I got confused at that part.
When did you stop being confused?
Okay, you were wondering about
Tony.
Back to France. They're wearing suits. They're looking nice.
I think they were still smoking, too.
Oh, so Sharp does a big move on somebody, right?
Well, or Coco, not somebody beware,
does
yeah.
a big move on Coco.
It was the only two people in the match.
And then he does his classic. Are you sure it wasn't a six-man tag? With just those two?
Davy Crockett was working this company. It might have been called a six-man tag.
He does his big move, and then he does the go to the outside and raise his arms so mm-hmm. everybody can bask.
Let everybody know.
Yeah. But there's
that
like
you're okay. Like you're still doing fine. This is all part of the plan.
There's five dudes in the second row that get up immediately and applaud the shit out of old Iron Mike. And they're like, too, you're like, doing it, sir. Bret you're Hart, doing it.
Bret Hart in his boring match was getting tons of applause.
Yeah, he was.
He's still the bad guy here. And I was kind of taken aback by that because I knew like eventually Bret Hart was the guy who like no matter what he did, he was beloved overseas, like the number one guy. Even when Hogan was still on top, it was overseas. They liked Bret Hart the most. But I didn't know it was this early in his career that even when he was just a tag team heel, like they were still popping for everything he did. Like he was, I don't know, some sort of Canadian Jesus.
Take off, eh?
I really like Iron Mike does his typical tie up in the ropes spot.
Oh yeah, you got my arms caught up in these ropes and I'm gonna holler about it. And then I'm hollering and mad about everything.
We've also seen Iron Mike have some great matches with what's his name?
Anybody he's been in the ring with?
No, black dude that's missing part of his back.
Oh, Special Delivery
yeah,
Jones.
Yeah, thank you. SD Jones. SD always knew how to work that spot. Like he'd be like, oh, I'm gonna shake the ropes, mm-hmm, put a little extra tension on there. I got
look
you,
at the
pal.
Crowd and be like, hey, look what I'm doing. And they're like, yeah, I see what you're doing. And you're like, we're all in this together, guys.
Yeah,
we're like on the same team.
You milk that like, I got him. Should I hit him, folks?
We all
you want
hate
me to
Iron
hit
Mike
him?
Sharp.
I'm going to hit him. You work him into a frenzy. Coco gets him tied up and looks at him like, oh, shit. I'm not familiar with this bit. And then just runs the ropes and
Coco
does the awkward splash face first into Sharp's balls.
He didn't. Yeah, he just kind of.
What was that?
It didn't look great. Coco might have been on the yayo this night. He's a little jittery.
He's like, oh, I know we talked about it last night at
sure
the bar, but I don't remember.
Frankie was giving him bad advice up there in the corner. I don't
also,
know
Frankie
happened.
Looked like he was molting.
Frankie
look
looked terrible. He looked
good.
Like he was on like a six-month bender.
Yeah,
there was no color in his feathers.
Or he had a stroke.
He had no energy.
He might have had one of them Bret Hart strokes. Do we know? Did Goldberg kick Frankie?
It's possible that Frankie took an errant super kick to the head and was feeling a little cross-eyed. He came out to this match.
Gorilla talked about the bird being cross-eyed.
Maybe they were in Paris. Maybe this wasn't really Frankie. Maybe this was just some third-rate Parisian bird they were trying
speaking
to pass
of,
off as Frankie.
Speaking of third-rate, who was the turd they had on commentary with Gorilla? Was that Bruno Sammartino or was that...
I was not sure who was on commentary with him.
I thought they said Bruno
at some
point. I did
not pay
point.
Any attention to the commentary until the last match.
Well,
Demolition.
We'll get to that. Hold on. Okay. Don't.
All right. That's when I started noticing the commentary.
You got to save some things, pal.
Oh, motherfucker.
You got to save some things.
So, yeah, no, I just assumed he was whatever, like Todd Pettengill, Sean Mooney of the moment they had working
no,
for them.
No, it was a wrestler. It was a wrestler.
Okay.
Because he was talking about being in the ring and how Ultimate Warrior made him want to hang up his boots because of all the steroids he was on.
He looked, that had to have been Bruno then. He's got, I didn't notice his like sort of just like gravelly, slow Polish delivery, though.
Maybe it wasn't.
He was talking better than I've ever heard. Could have been talk.
Who's the Canadian, the strong guy?
Dino Bravo.
Could have been.
No, that guy's not doing commentary. Could have
said Dino. I don't know. It was awful, though.
He's preparing for his big bench press competition coming up.
God,
we got two companies
we're
watching, and we got two angles where the how much you bench press thing is half of what they're building the next big fucking show around. Dino Bravo is going to try to break the world bench breaking record. Going to break the press.
He's going to press the bench break record.
I'm going to guarantee you this, just like I'm guarantee you that thing about the Road Warriors and the Barbarian and the Warlord over there in WCW. When this happens on this next big show, the Royal Rumble, it's going to be the most boring part of the show.
Oh, the Rumble Royal?
I guarantee you. Gene Okerlund still calling it the fucking Rumble Royal.
Yeah, man.
One week in. Like, I know. I understand. I'm sure they recorded all these things in one big batch and they spread them out for weeks. But still, after the first interview where he calls it the Rumble Royal over and over again, before the second interview, be like, if you're not going to stop the first interview and be like, record it because we've got a big show coming up and you're calling it by the bed, at least for the second interview, be like, okay. Quit fucking calling it that. It's a big show. We got a lot banking on this.
Gene,
that's not what it's called.
Gene, hold on. Put the Manhattan down for five
seconds. Hey, gin breath.
Hold on. Before you drink that, Royal Rumble.
It's the other way around.
Royal Rumble.
It's just what you've been saying, but the other way around. Quit saying it like that.
At least Brain called him out this week.
Well, thank God. That's absolutely the least that could have been done about this, calling their next giant show the wrong thing over and over again.
I got a thing I want to talk about.
What is it?
That Million Dollar Man interview. Wasn't that great?
Oh, yeah. He's doing great.
I'll just kind of lump it together. That and their special report, like where they just...
Oh, yeah. There was a whole period where they were just building up like what's going
on
next.
They're just doing their 80s storylines, like their late 80s, early 90s storylines, and they like make them seem so important and so great. You got this Million Dollar Man thing where he's coming out
wanting to buy the world title instead of win it is such a great storyline.
Everybody knows it. Everybody's familiar with it. And like, you know, like, oh, well, that's where the Million Dollar Belt came from. You know, he couldn't win it, so he made his own, blah, blah, blah. But like, to go back and watch it again, it's just like, God, that is great shit. Like, he's like, Hogan doesn't want to sell it. He's an idiot. And then Brain comes out and he's like, yeah, fuck it. I'll take your money, bro. I got the world's biggest athlete.
And Andre is going to win it for him, and he comes off as such a heel for being like, hey, man, I don't care. If you give me money, I'll hand
over
the belt.
Fuck. Yeah.
The fans are just
You're supposed to
want to earn the belt because this is a legitimate competition.
His exact words.
I hate you, Andre.
Were, Hogan, I don't want to do it.
He looks like a legitimate monster. Mythical monster.
They paused it on his face and his like mouth's open.
How many yellow teeth does he have in there?
Tiny little baby
four
teeth.
I count four dozen.
It's amazing because he's got three rows of teeth like a shark,
mm-hmm.
but they're all baby teeth.
Tiny little.
Instead
he's
of like
grind
full
you
grown
down
man.
Like cornmeal into tortillas. That's what he does to your bones.
It's terrifying.
So scary.
He looks kind of like the Babadook.
Babadook was a very slender man. I don't think he'd take kindly to you.
Babadook was a hefty man in that coat.
Yeah, he was tall. I don't remember being hefty. The next thing I want to talk about, just very quickly, I just want to throw this in here. I just want to get it in and get it out. That midget match also went on way too long, especially when we're not seeing any of that,
I got that
Iron Mike Sharp match.
Too.
But I did love how Lord Littlebrook, whenever he was in hold, would go, because that's really good stuff. Somebody gets you in an arm lock, just start screaming, that's weird. I've never seen anybody do that. And if you would tell me like, hey, you should do that, let's see how it works, I'd be like, that wouldn't work. But then he does it, and I'm like, oh no, that works great.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Everybody should do that.
This match going on too long, because I thought this match was a masterpiece.
Yeah, you want like just all these different commercial breaks going on. Let's draw this midget match. Let's make one third of our show
we're
doing this week. Okay, I'd like to hear.
They cut to commercial.
Your argument here.
Brain's on the phone. Gorilla asks him about the match. Brain goes, midget's done yet? Gorilla goes, no. And Brain, without skipping a beat, yeah, go ahead, Betty.
I'm right great there with stuff. The brain. Right there great with the brain. Stuff. This is
but let's
filling
talk,
time.
Let's
and
talk
Lord,
about,
was it filling a lot of time.
Let's talk about how great Lord Littlebrook was.
I mean, he looks like a weird little sleaze.
He comes out dressed in that old school Hunter Hearst Helmsley outfit, but with sunglasses and a Sam Jackson hat.
He looks like fucking the sinister minister James Mitchell if
he's
he cut his legs off.
Awesome.
And put him in some fancy
he
goods.
Looked awesome. Cowboy Lang, whatever.
I thought Cowboy Lane was kind of grizzled and handsome. I could see why they gave him the cowboy gimmick.
He had hairy legs.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice?
I was noticing
fuzzy,
a lot.
Fuzzy legs.
Definitely noticing. I was like, ooh, we got a real cowboy.
Littlebrook's heel work.
Ooh, we got a real cowboy in this match right now. I'm
real
liking
cowboy.
What I'm seeing.
Littlebrook's heel work, second to none, man.
Mm-hmm.
He was
a lot
killing
of,
it.
A lot of yelling. There was a lot of biting going on in this match.
It really
biting.
Deteriorated.
The ref
at the
got
end.
Bit
yeah.
on the butt a lot of times. I'll tell you that.
The
right
ref
now.
Was throwing midgets at one point.
Yeah, well, you, when they're biting your tush, you
yeah,
got
you do
to.
What you got to.
I mean, he doesn't have burnt buns. Like Rick Rude's going to have after
oh, yeah.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat threatened to burn his buns.
Please.
In that,
we get
that
it.
Interview to build up their Royal Rumble
Steamboat,
match.
Steamboat, you're one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time, like hands down.
There's
like,
no question.
You
when
you go
that.
When you go to like the biggest names and you're like, who are their best matches? You know, Ric Flair, Macho Man, who are their best matches? It's always Steamboat.
I'm
going to
burn
yeah.
your buns.
But just don't let him, don't put that mic in front of him, man.
Those tight buns of yours,
you
got, Steamboat, they're getting burned, baby. I'm going to toast them.
And my favorite part of that promo was like, I admit, he looks great.
You got to. Rick Rude does look great.
He's like, no homo, son. He looked good. Oh, boy. Lord Littlebrook, he looked good, too. I really liked his strutting, and then he'd, like, hold the double peace signs up to the audience.
Oh, yeah, this man, I mean...
That crowd was popping huge for them.
Took everything he knew from these old Lord Littlebrook matches.
That crowd was popping huge for these two.
I think this guy's a European fucking legend at this point.
He?
I think they're very familiar with his work. I think that's why they brought him out there, and... These Frenchies, they're like, ooh, yeah. We've hated this creepy-looking little man for years.
How many you got left?
I don't know. Not really been paying attention.
Yeah, I think I'm on my last one.
Okay, just real interesting little point before it. I want to go up to that final tag match. I got a couple things
That's
to say
final
about
one.
That. A
That's
couple things. I got
about.
Like two or three into that match, so we'll just all wrap this up into one big, like, talking about that match thing. First off, Brady Boone. The cousin,
yeah.
Billy Jack Haynes. I was astonished at how much commentators are talking about. This guy has got some real talent. He could really be something.
If he wasn't so little?
If he wasn't so little. Like, his size is really going to be a problem for him. Like, we'll see if he can overcome it. If you put this fucking guy who they're saying is too little to be a wrestler, who's not going to make it on the modern roster.
He's John Cena.
He's the size of Big E Langston. Is like the one person who I was like, if I had to eyeball it, I think he looks like Big E Langston. And that guy has the word big in his name.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's fucking huge. He's not the tallest,
he's
pretty tall. He's jacked to shit.
Yeah.
He would be like a good head above like 3/4 of their roster.
Probably.
He's twice as thick as all of their roster they have now. And right now he's out there in the commentaries talking about how he's not big enough to make it as a wrestler.
He's never going to be a real wrestler.
My, how times have changed. Who, I just found that to be very interesting.
I wasn't familiar with this dude at all, were you?
Oh, no. I don't even remember Billy Jack having a fucking cousin.
He was great, though, man. Like,
cousins.
Well, first of all,
he's a cousin of Billy Jack. I got to assume they got that whole drug problem thing running in the family. Maybe he made a mess of his life. And,
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Crashed some cars. I don't know. Got some assault, allegations thrown his way.
I never heard about any of this stuff.
This is all just me spitballing. I don't have any proof that this happened.
I'm pretty sure Billy Jack.
Off the top of my head, if I'm going to say what might have been happening here in 1980s pro wrestling.
Billy Jack. There's disappeared from wrestling
a lot of real good
to go back to the Oregon woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the judge said he had to.
No, it's where he's from. He's an Oregon ninja. Yeah,
he had to become one with nature again.
Yeah.
At that rehab facility.
The judge ordered him.
Uh-huh.
Because the judge was like, these woods, they're out of order, and there's only one person that can fix them. So
it's Chuck Norris.
Legally mandating you to come fix these woods, Oregon ninja, Billy Jack Haynes.
Chuck Norris's later career Walker Texas Ranger character
was based off of Billy Jack Haynes.
His love of Billy Jack Haynes' wrestling career could have been quite a lot.
I love his shitty tattoos. I love his Oregon trunks.
He was like kind of an originator of shitty tattoos. Because if you look around today, like having shitty tattoos, that's fucking nothing, son. Like,
yeah.
You can't meet a person without shitty tattoos. In the 80s, if you saw a guy with a bunch of shitty tattoos, it was kind of like,
yeah,
that guy's cool.
Yeah.
That guy's pretty
He's
cool.
He's probably done a calendar or two.
Oh, yeah.
In some kind of lockdown.
This guy's pretty cool.
Oh, he was so cool. I was so happy to see him back. This was like the first time I'd watched Demolition, and I don't even know how long. Yeah.
And, they had their music already.
God.
Still pretty early Demolition. Yeah. They're still figuring out their shit, too.
Oh, but goddamn, pal. It's fun
music down right.
It was fun to just watch them club people. It's
kind of interesting. Another point that I wanted to say as my sort of number five, though. They had their clubbering down. They had the gimmick down, but they're still... I think the Fed had not figured out that these guys are going to be our next huge thing. So much like the Warrior, they're not getting booked as strong as you're used to them getting booked. So they're trading a lot more offense in this than you're used to seeing them trade. They were doing like 50-50 with Billy Jack and Cousin.
Yeah, they should have been. They were in there with two of the best.
That's your opinion.
Two of the greatest of all time.
I was kind of taken aback to watch a demolition match where they were giving up so much to another team that wasn't in a championship caliber type event, and it was interesting because they can do it. Like, unlike a lot of these people, like the Warrior or even the Road Warriors, who are famous for just, you know, being solid main event guys, if you ask these guys to sell and have a competitive match back and forth, they can still do that and do it a lot better. That's why I always thought Demolition was better.
That's a fair
Demolition's
assessment.
Better than all those guys.
Did you notice before the start of the match when Gorilla and Brain were talking about the upcoming match? Gorilla was like, Demolition with their manager, Mr. Fuji.
Mm-hmm.
To which Brain retorted, ah, so.
Yeah, he is quick with mocking a woman for being fat or mocking an Asian person for being from Asia. That's for sure.
And that, folks,
that's for sure,
is racist.
Very racist. Bobby the Brain, you got a quick wit. You were better than this, but it was the 1980s. Not going to hold it against you.
Can we talk about the main part of this match?
Are we going to go finally loop back around to who the hell was on commentary?
Boom.
Because they never told us.
All right, so it's some woman.
You got some theories? Some clueless woman.
Who they like? I keep hearing the one dude say Michael, and then the woman talks, and I'm like, what kind of woman is named Michael?
Yeah,
maybe it's a really really, really young Michael Cole. I don't know.
Oh, it could have been. His balls hadn't dropped yet.
And then for like the main announcer dude, he sounded like somebody doing a bad Vince McMahon impersonation.
Yeah, he's like had a gravelly voice thing going on a little bit. Like if Vince had too much artificial gravel in his
voice.
Oh,
here it comes. Oh.
I kept wondering if maybe he was like
saying,
a local radio DJ. Like I was getting that sort of vibe.
Oh,
like,
no. The weird
sort of
the weird
local,
voice guy?
Local radio DJ?
No,
yeah,
the one
that's
that
what
was
I'm talking about.
I'm talking like the guy that was like doing like the traditional like announcing.
Okay, yeah, that was whatever scrub they had on the payroll.
Well, they kept saying third man in the crew. Kept saying Bruce.
Okay.
And I'm thinking it was Bruce Pritchard.
That guy did not have enough of a Texas accent to be
that's fair.
I wouldn't say.
I don't know who it was, but they had a wrestler as the third.
I mean, like,
and he sounded like Beavis.
You're led to believe that he was some kind of wrestler, but I still wasn't buying it because
he sounded
like a guy
like
just
Beavis
putting on a voice. Like, this isn't when a guy had been doing this voice in promos for years as a wrestler.
You got these guys on the ring here. Demolition.
Hey, Beavis. What do you think about Demolition?
Well, you know, they're pretty good, butthead.
Kind of thinking now, if you were just start up an indie wrestling promotion and have Mike Judge
have
do commentary over it, Beavis and Butthead, like, that might be something people would pay for. I mean, like,
I can't even.
Once a year at your big event, you have Beavis turn into Cornholio during the main event, and everybody's just really looking forward
Cornholio.
To it.
Cornholio.
That could be something. Yeah, this guy doing this fake gravelly voice.
It was so like, weird.
Coming at you this morning on Rock 2037.
I'm coming to get you.
WT2W, the butt.
The butt.
That's what I was picturing the whole time this guy was talking. And I was like, oh, thank God they don't have him on commentary every fucking week doing this horrible, horrible, I'm some sort of hip guy shtick.
Oh, back to your indie fed with Mike Judge.
Life. Back to reality. We're going to say Hank Hill's doing the ringside interviews.
Like Davy Crockett. Oh, you figured it out.
That sounds
you
real
knew,
good to
man,
me.
You knew right where I was going with
sounds
it.
Real. We're going to have to pay Mike Judge a lot because he's pulling triple duty on this thing. But I don't know what he's doing these days. I feel like he'd be into it.
With me now is Ron Simmons.
He's just like, oh, jeez, I couldn't believe you said that.
Oh, God. Dang it!
Huh, I couldn't believe he talked about Dusty that way.
You take that back!
David Crockett is kind of our just Hank Hill already, and we haven't been appreciating him as it turns out.
Davy Crockett's got to start using Bah!
That's all that I want to talk about.
Davy Crockett ain't right.
As far as it comes to this episode of Primetime Wrestling.
What do you say we get the fuck out of here? We regroup.
Yeah.
We drink some more booze drinks.
I need a fucking refill. I'm starting to get cotton mouth. Good thing we got these whole pop shields over our fucking mics
booze
this time. Because
Bobby ba, booze it up.
Very dry right now.
Bobby ba, booze it up.
What's up next?
Commercials.
Yeah, and then?
The three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Let's swing it one time with a new song from Tom Jones.
Coca-Cola.
Things go better with Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
Things go better with Coke. Life is much more fun when you're refreshed. Ooh, and Coke refreshes you best.
Say, I could do with a Coke right now. Somebody get me one, please.
Food goes better with. Fun goes better with. You go better with.
Do you like magic?
Mm-hmm. Siegfried and Roy?
That is not possible. What do you like about them? Their tricks or their showmanship or...
And their hair. I love their hair.
It's time for you. It's time for you to spread your wings and do the thing.
What are you singing? It's... See you in the base of the you know.
La, 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 la.
Come to see Las Vegas.
Our town.
It's time for you.
Yeah.
He did it again. Drives me crazy.
Give me a break.
It's the three count. It's just a quick one.
I wasn't prepared for it to end so abruptly, but I guess you just got straight to the point.
It's
bam.
It's based
don't
off
need
of
anything else.
One of my favorite things.
Uh-huh.
Every city has them, you know. But in Chicago, you know, we have
Chicago.
We have two different car shows. There's the car show.
Oh, we're at the McCormick Center?
Yeah.
Oh, I love going to that car show.
And then there's also World of Wheels where you can
World of Wheels? I ain't been to that thing. I go to the real car show, you know?
Oh, see, I always went to World of Wheels.
I'm always over at the McCormick Center.
No, as a little kid.
Down there on the lake?
The Bears.
As a little kid, my old man would take us to World of Wheels because that's where you'd get, like, the A-Team van.
You got specialty
cars. Batmobile.
Okay.
There was always wrestlers there. That's where
Wow, that sounds great.
That's where Davey R. Scheister met and got an autograph from one Kevin Nash.
Oh wow, Big Sexy?
Yeah.
Did Dave talk to him a little bit? Like tell
a little
him
bit.
How sexy he thought he was?
Dave told him that he never turned his back on the Wolf Pack, you know.
Makes sense.
I want to say
in a body bag if you did that.
Yeah. I want to say this was during the Wolf Pack days.
I gotta say, I remember back in my high school days, I had a good friend, a guy by the name of Shane Mailing.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah, he used to brag a lot about getting his picture taken with the A-Team van when he was a kid. And I'm wondering now if he was at this World of Wheels thing that I never knew about.
Next time you talk to him, ask that motherfucker if he's holding a Uzi in his picture, because they totally had one in the van when you got to sit in the van to take the picture.
Well, that doesn't sound safe.
I was younger, so Teddy Bizkliz got to hold the Uzi.
Wait, there was only one Uzi?
Well, there might have been more, but I was like a little kid.
Good way to let a couple of brothers get in a fucking little cat fight in the middle of an A-team van if there's only one Uzi to hold.
There is a picture of the two of us in the A-team van, though.
Was it because that Ted had to knock you out and act like he was smuggling you onto an airplane in the little photo op?
Yeah, I was the B.A. Baracus. I was the B.A. Baracus of the thing, yeah.
Well, nice.
I didn't need a
Uzi.
I had my fist.
I'm going to forge new and wondrous things upside your head if you try to get me on the airplane.
You know how much gold I'm wearing in that picture?
You just pumped him full of drugs, so we're not going to give him an Uzi.
I pity the fool. Oh, but back to my story. There's all
there's
the car
story,
shows, but there's the boat show.
Who's going to the boat show?
I don't know, but they've got a great radio spot every year where they're like hyping up the boat show, and it always ends with the boat show.
What was that on, like Rock 103.5? They're talking
anything,
about
the Blaze.
Everything, the Blaze.
It's on the
about
Blaze.
Fucking like, I was trying to
99.9 the bus.
It's been so long since I've been exposed to terrestrial
the
radio
bus.
That I can't even think of anymore.
The boat show.
Queer 101. They do it on Queer 101. That's a shout out to Man Cow.
The boat show. Oldies 104.3.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Do they have to do that like on the lake?
The boat show. No, I'm pretty sure they just
all in the McCormick Center.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody wants to, you know, have a convention lined up, McCormick Center. It's a great space.
Yep.
It's very accessible public transit. McCormick Center. Throw us some money. We'll talk about you a little bit more.
They got a parking garage, or you can just park at Soldier Field.
Sure.
It's no big deal. It's owned by the city. Soldier Field, that's not a real stadium.
There's a planetarium right there.
We get it. All you people that watch Bears games.
Go to the planetarium.
Your favorite team ends up playing the Bears, and you're like, God, why does their stadium look like shit? That's because it's a park district field.
Yeah. I went there once.
Chicago owns that stadium.
For that Blackhawks game they played.
Yeah.
That was in the Soldier Field.
Even the ice looked awful.
I was horrified.
Yeah.
Like, the little hallways, the little ancient stone hallways are not big enough for the amount of people that can fit in there, because they built, like, the big UFO stands on top of the initial structure to make
it
bigger.
In the Park District Stadium.
And there's too many people in there now, and the facilities can't handle it. So, like, if you want to go to the bathroom or, like, get a hot dog or anything, you literally have to, like, get in a very dangerous, confined place where it takes, like, like, if I would have wanted to get a beer, you would have been, like, you would have missed the entire fucking second or third period.
That
like,
makes
just
sense.
Get one. It was a real shit show. And I'm like, is this what it's like every single Bears game?
Yes.
Like, you just can't get anywhere.
Absolutely.
You can't do anything? And
that's
it has
why
to
I've,
be. It has to be.
That's why I've never been to a Bears game. That's why I never want to go to a Bears game.
I never want
to
go.
Like, why would I want to go there? It's, like, freezing cold. It's going to be snowing.
It's
if it's not snowing, it's just freezing cold. There's wind coming in off the lake.
Literally,
it's
it was
awful.
Below zero, and we got probably 2 feet of snow dumped on us. And this was in like March.
Or I can watch.
It's colder by the lake.
I can watch said product in my house on my couch on 60 inches of high def.
Or how about like at the Hooters? And I'm like making lewd comments to the Hooters girls that are working. I'm like,
bro,
hey, Sandy, come over here. How much is it for getting my hands on a couple of breasts?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, we just have wings. And I'm like,
hey. Hey, I gotta go. I gotta run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Keep me abreast of any score changes.
How much of that gourmet hot dog do you think you could fit in your mouth?
Hey, I gotta titties.
I don't know.
I didn't have a good one for
a lot of girls who have worked at Hooters, and they've all been very nice ladies.
Remember when Eric Los Boricuas?
Oh, yeah. Our half Puerto Rican, half Mexican friend, Eric Boricua. What?
Eric Boricua. He was eating that.
He had that gourmet hot dog at the Hooters. Backlash 2005?
I don't know. I was
going
to say, we're going to have to talk.
Is that around a Backlash 2005?
We will have to bring in a WWF historian.
To recount?
Well, Davey R. Scheister.
Oh, okay.
He always knows what pay-per-view's what and who sang
that's
the theme song
true.
For the pay-per-view.
Photographic memory. That's why he's working
look
in that finance
industry. Look at this photograph!
Every time I do it, it makes me laugh.
But yeah, no joke. Eric Bariqua ate a gourmet hot dog at a Hooters pay-per-view and threw it up.
Threw it up right in the bathroom. Wasn't like 10 minutes later after he finished that hot dog.
And another thing that
came up like poison
you peoples don't know about is we used to go to those pay-per-views at the Hooters, and so did Triple H, Grandma.
About time we get it out here about
Let's talk about Triple H, Grandma.
There was a time when we were still trying to watch the modern products in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
We'd go to the Hooters every month for these pay-per-views, and there was a whole cast of characters who we'd love to see there. Number one was Triple H, Grandma, who would bring a sledgehammer and had a Triple H shirt and kind of just had, like, stringy, gross hair like Triple H after his HGH-like days were, like, making his hair stringy and not so glorious anymore.
And the best part was, like,
she was a legit grandma.
She loved Triple H.
So much.
And this was, like, but this was, like, 2003 era Triple H when he was ruining wrestling.
Yeah. Nobody liked Triple H then.
And, like, his matches would go on and she'd just be like, yeah! Sledgehammer!
And your hillbilly grandsons would just be like chugging domestic beers and like trying to make eyes at the Hooters waitresses.
And she was just
good
fucking putting down those Durrells. One after the other.
If they're still playing those pay-per-views at the Hooters. I want to watch the pay-per-views. I just want to go watch the people some more.
I want to see if William Forsythe and his handicapped brother still go.
I'm sure that they do. They'd be getting mad Hooters merch.
I know they buy that Hooters swag every show.
So much just loyalty to the Hooters brand. They'd be walking out with arms full of merch every month.
You know, like when you go to the WWF shows and you're like, who the hell are these people that...
Who
are these people that pay enough money to get like the commemorative folding chair?
Oh, yeah.
Like you sat on it, you get to take it home.
You gotta be giving Vince a lot of like, money to do that.
That's these two, but at Hooters. Like they're spending Hooters money. Like,
well, you know, gotta get at least that calendar every
If you've ever gone.
Coming out with a new tank top every summertime season. Like.
If you've ever gone to Hooters and wondered to yourself, who buys that Hooters golf bag? One of them did. Let's go to Hooters again. It's been a minute.
Okay, we're going to do it, but we need to get in that three count first. We're getting pretty long in the tooth this episode.
I feel like I just want to talk about Hooters.
No,
again.
We got a fun topic this
week.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about...
Throw it out there. What you
classic
got?
Classic bro movies where there's a big party and a crew of guys are going out to Vegas to get into some trouble.
Ooh,
there's a
baby.
Lot of them. I'm talking like shit like... You got like a Very Bad Things.
Ooh.
This is like Christian Slater in that movie, I think.
No, you're thinking of Gleam in the Cube.
I'm
Go
talking
ahead, though.
About like... You got like a Judgment Night type situation.
Hell
where you
yeah.
a bunch of dudes.
Hell
like
yeah.
A
in an RV.
RV and you're going out to the big boxing match.
All those Vegas RVs.
And you're talking about... the classic The Hangover series.
Familiar.
You get a crew of guys. You're getting probably a crew of four guys and just you're gonna bro it up in Vegas for the weekend.
Vegas
baby.
Ross,
am I right?
Oh, Nick.
So I says to him, I said, get your old monkey.
Lord, Rusty. Oh, you must be lost. This is Mr. Papa Giorgio.
His name is not Papa Giorgio. His name is Rusty Griswold. He's a C-plus student. Now out of the pool. Let's go.
It's a thing that movies like to do. I'm saying, like, if you're doing this shit with 80s pro wrestlers,
boom.
Let's talk about it. Let's do a little fantasy book in here.
I'm ready.
If you got to make your four-man crew... who you're going to do a classic bro movie trip to Vegas with, and you're going to get in some hijinks, things are going to go wrong, probably you're going to run afoul of, like, some gangsters and the law. You're one of the three, or the four guys,
yeah.
So you need three others. I want you to pick your three wrestlers. You're just going to crew it up. You guys are going to be the dudes. You're going to tear Vegas a new one.
I got a great crew.
Okay, I want to hear your crew. I want to hear your crew.
Hold on. There it is.
Oh,
you got to get those out, man. That's bad to hold that
Maybe
in.
Maybe we shouldn't drink so much before we do this.
No, nonsense.
Yeah.
That's what makes it cool.
Down the hatch.
Everybody, like I need an excuse.
Oh, I know, you didn't have to do it at the same time as me. One of us is supposed to talk while the other one drinks.
You said drink, so
real science.
I got excited.
There's real science to this.
I got a first one here. You ready for this one?
Okay, yeah.
I'm invoking one of our holiest of rules.
Wow.
And that is the NBA Jam rule.
That's right.
What's NBA my Jam, cutoff? What's
released
my cutoff?
In 1993, that means the 80s technically lasted
extends
until
to.
1993.
So I'm gonna,
otherwise known as the Monday Night Raw rule.
I'm not taking it all the way to 93.
You
I'm
don't
taking
need
it to.
To
the year before. I'm talking about 1992. I'm talking about a gentleman that has Vegas in his name.
Wow.
Vinny fucking Vegas.
Pre-Big Daddy Cool?
Yep.
Kevin Nash
yep.
out to Vegas with you?
For a lot of reasons.
Oh, wow.
For a lot
get
of
into
reasons.
This, then.
All right. First of all, uh-huh. he's got Vegas in his name.
That makes a lot. He's probably got a lot of connections in that town.
Second, that character
mm-hmm.
was based off of Steve Martin's character in My Blue Heaven.
Oh my god.
I love that movie. So I could
vaguely
just,
remember that movie existing.
I can just hit there's this some line about this nerd in the grocery store is like, "Excuse me, sir, do you want to try gluten-free oatmeal
that,
raisin
was that
cookie?"
Rick Moranis, I think maybe.
Yeah,
yeah
he's
Moranis
in that one
was
too.
Playing the nerd in that movie.
Yeah, well, this is a different nerd though.
Oh, different nerd?
Yeah, okay, Steve okay. Martin's trying to fit in with regular people mm-hmm. and he's grocery shopping
yeah.
and this dorky like clerk's like, "Excuse me, sir, would you like to try a gluten-free oatmeal raisin
oh,
nutmeg
no,
cookie or whatever?"
For Hollywood.
To
shit.
Which Steve Martin turns to him and says, "What do you think?"
That's pretty good.
Great bit.
That's I
great
was gonna Steve, for a second. I was gonna be like, "Was Andrew Dice Clay in that movie?"
Yeah, no.
He's just doing Andrew
it's
Dice
Steve
Clay
Martin
voice.
Doing Clay.
Yeah, that's
so,
what he does throughout that
so,
whole movie.
So I get Kevin Nash
makes,
doing
making a lot of sense. To
doing
me so
Steve
far.
Martin doing. The Dice Man,
okay,
right?
Yeah, sure.
All right?
A lot of layers to this.
So he's going to entertain me the entire week.
Perfect.
Now, you've partied with me before.
I have, yeah.
I like to run my
not
mouth.
Not with Kevin Nash.
I like to run my mouth.
You're,
I like...
You usually you need a big guy standing behind you.
I need a big guy standing behind me.
For things not to end
me.
Wrong, like...
So, boom. Here's my guy, right?
His
it's
arms
Vinny fucking
crossed,
Vegas.
Standing right
it's
behind
Vinny
you.
It's Vinny fucking Vegas.
That
I
makes
can
a
say
lot of sense.
All the shit I want to say, right?
Uh-huh.
Now... Let's parlay this.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny Vegas, I don't know. Is he in the Diamond Stable?
Yeah,
with,
that's right.
They're the Diamond Mine or whatever?
DDP or something?
Yeah. Are his buddies DDP, the Diamond Stud, and Scotty Flamingo going to stop by?
That's a strong fucking
yeah,
crew
they're
right
probably going to show up.
That is a strong crew.
At least
crew.
For one of the nights.
If they're showing up. The cops are showing up.
One of those guys is Scotty Flamingo. Which means he's Raven before he went off the rails.
Mm.
So, like, if you've ever wanted to hang out with Raven...
Well, I'd say Raven when he was on the rails before he just switched to H is probably how it was
that's
going.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So he can get you club drugs at this point, you know? Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's not going to want to, like, shoot shit. He's going to want to bang rails with you.
That's a party.
You're
going to
have
that's
a good
a party
time.
Where I'm from.
So, Vinny Vegas, that's my guy.
That's a good number one pick.
Yeah.
For sure.
I feel good about that one.
I'm kind of, I'm doing like a structured thing here. I'm taking it like classic literal, like if you're doing a movie about this, if you're like doing one of these films, you need to have archetypes. There's several archetypes
oh,
these characters are always
I got a theme going, don't worry.
Too. So one of the big archetypes you need is you need a big fat party animal for comic relief. And so my number three guy who I'm bringing in is the ultimate big fat party animal by everyone's account, Andre the Giant.
Oh.
Andre.
Whoa.
How many different stories are there out there about the legendary amount of like boozes
yeah.
and wines and whatnot that Andre the Giant could put down in a single night? About all the stories about him going in anywhere he goes, he's just taking it over. He's making them stay open late. He's making them bend his will. He does whatever he wants because he's a fucking giant.
He's you're also going to benefit.
Uh-huh.
He's going to bring Taylor around.
Oh, fucking women want to put like their hands up to Andre's hands
yeah.
and stand next to him.
I bet he could grab both of my boobies
Snapchats
with one hand.
To see
yeah.
like, oh, look how little
yeah.
I am next to Andre.
Yeah.
And like, oh,
they're
going to
be sniffing around.
Maybe you're telling me like, oh, yeah, sure. But, you know, he's no fucking Zach Galifianakis.
No.
Like, he's not going to be your big comedic relief. Well, you didn't watch The Princess Bride because you could
true.
Only... suss out every other word he says in that movie, but everybody still bought him as the comic relief. He's
yeah.
charming as fuck in that thing.
Anybody want a peanut?
So, Andre the Giant, you're getting noticed everywhere you go. People are slapping you high fives everywhere
one.
You go.
That's a good one.
He's probably wearing a sweet outfit. I'm picturing him as like his late 70s version where he's got that big fro too. He was like well over 8 foot tall with fro, if you add fro in. So I think, like, whew, this is the basis I'm going to build my crew on, my strong foundation right here.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's a good place to start.
This is doing. I'm looking forward to this trip already.
I got a second guy.
Yeah, let's get into it. This second part of your crew.
Now, usually,
who you taking on this trip?
You know, I pride myself on my looks. I'm a very vain man.
That's disgusting, quite frankly.
And I struggled with this decision.
Maybe someday you'll finally find happiness when you get past this.
No,
just
never.
Just accept yourself for who you are.
I struggled with this decision, but I thought, this guy's got to come on the trip.
You're not going to bring somebody handsomer than you, are you? He's going to pull all the tail.
Well,
this might be a misstep.
Little thing called runoff.
Oh, yeah. Runoff is very important. That's right. True. If you're willing to feed off that runoff, like, you could live a long, healthy life.
This man's a legend, and this man, oh, he could slay tail. But there's only so much tail you can slay in a night. And I feel like we would benefit from it.
Nobody wants to go home lonely, so you always got that runoff.
I'm bringing Richard Rude.
Ricky Rude?
Yeah.
You fucking chiseled Adonis?
Now, here's the thing.
That mustache.
I like...
Are you bringing his mustache?
Well, hell yeah. I'm bringing his mustache. I'm bringing his
fucking
abs.
You're getting a lot of attention to
bringing
that mustache.
I'm bringing his chest hair. I'm bringing his curly...
swiveling hips.
I'm bringing his perm, his hips, all of it. He's going to have an airbrush Speedo.
Starting to get chubbed up.
You know... I like laying out, you know? I'm going to want to go poolside.
Oh, yeah. You got that Greek blood. You want to get out there and get that sun on your filthy Greek skin.
Yeah. Skin of the gods, man.
Beautiful.
So I'm going to want to lay out at least one day, right? Especially, like, maybe we went hard the night before.
That's great, too. Yeah, I was just going to say, when you're hungover, like, you don't want to do anything. You just go lay in a chair.
I can spend 6 to 8 hours poolside.
Oh, absolutely.
And they'll just bring me drinks periodically.
Easy.
Okay, let's do that. So you're laying there.
Yahtzee.
Everybody's like, God, look at this Rick Rude guy. And so he's just bringing in hot women.
Yeah,
I don't even have to make an effort. Like, I'm hungover.
Try to bang him by the end of the night.
I'm too hungover.
Oh, you look terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I'm picturing it right now.
Right, yeah.
I'm starting to, like, I'm getting a little bit of
face
that, like, bile
bloated.
That's coming up in my,
I got that,
my throat.
I got that fucking... chubby under Tom Hanks chin,
oh,
you know what
God,
I'm saying?
No. You should at least have shaved before you came out here, because the way the sun's hitting your pale skin and
nice.
That stubble.
It's not nice.
Yeah.
But it doesn't even matter, because, like, some drunk girl's going to get left behind in the mix, and then you sweep that up.
They
you sweep that up, you know? But the other good thing about Rick Rude, he's going to keep you honest.
Okay.
At least one day out of that trip, you're going to hit the gym with him. You know?
Oh, wow.
You're going to get that pump in.
You don't want to put on too much Vegas weight. I see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You got to, at least one day, you got to do a little bit of work.
That's fair.
Because you're thinking end game here. You know what I'm saying?
I want to have a good time. I don't want to lose myself in Vegas.
Yeah. I want to look great in Vegas, too, though.
Sure.
Rick Rude's got to make sure you do.
Be wearing, like, a lot of tight dress pants, probably, when you guys go out at night. Just
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too. Yeah, like,
just
you don't
like
got to
nice
worry, like,
slick
oh,
fabric.
Are these pants too tight? No,
it's like if it was raining.
Did you
just
see,
like,
what Rick Rude's wearing?
Yeah, all that rain
you're
just
good.
Be wicking right off your gross fabric, whatever it fucking is.
Plus,
it's not natural, I'll tell you that much, this fabric.
He's dead, right?
Oh, yeah. R.I.P.D. Rick Rude.
Yeah, he died, like, what, in the 40s?
Yeah, I don't know. They're all dead.
Heart attack?
They're all so dead.
Yeah, exactly. You know he was doing cocaine, so he's got the party, too.
Oh, for sure.
He can party with you. He can party.
He's got the hookup.
That's my second.
Another classic archetype when you're taking a crew of guys out to Vegas, a crew of partying guys, guys who are just getting down, they're causing trouble, they're bringing trouble to you, you know. You got to have the one nervous guy who's upset about everything that's happening.
Oh, let's see if we cross paths here.
Always afraid that, like,
let's
oh,
see
shit's
if we
gonna
cross
go
paths
bad.
Here.
You're all going to end up in jail. This isn't going to be great. I don't know. Maybe he's got a wife at home he's worried about. Like, this is going to ruin his marriage. This is going to ruin his reputation. His dentist office he's got back in Iowa, you know, he's going to shut down once all the townsfolk find out what he got to
him. I'm on the edge
Vegas.
Of my seat here.
You need a little yapping dog who's going to be running around everybody.
There's
like
no way. We got the same
chihuahua.
Guy. We got the same
like
guy
like a
here.
Barking chihuahua.
We got the same guy here.
Just getting in trouble. You know, you got a stripper going to cardiac arrest, and you're all trying to just, like, resuscitate her back to life so you don't go to jail.
Yeah.
You need one guy just freaking out, running around the room.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you need a guy doing that, the guy should have a megaphone in his
Boom!
Hands. So I'm bringing Jimmy Hart to
Shaka-laka.
Vegas. I'm bringing Jimmy Hart to fucking Vegas.
Man.
And he's going to fill that role for
you
me.
You hit
you know
my
what
final
saying?
Guy here, pal.
I can't believe it.
You got to have
both
him.
Bringing Jimmy to
you
Vegas.
You got to have him. Why aren't you going to? Like you said, you go to jail. Mm-hmm. Who's coming up with the bail money?
Well, yeah.
Huh?
He's going to have to make that happen for sure. He's
one of
in
us,
charge of the thing.
One
he's
of us,
the manager. He's
one
the
of,
manager.
Yeah, one of us snorted something that was laced with something
I
and we're
know
in a
that
bad
was
way.
H, I thought it was just cocaine.
Yeah.
She told me it was just cocaine.
Heart's taking care of you, man. You're going to make a couple jokes at his expense to look better around women?
Oh, yeah, sure. You, got,
you can.
You got to have that one guy you could put down.
Oh, that's all right, Daddy. We're just having fun.
I don't have any problem with that, darling.
He don't care. Do whatever, man.
He's just like, you guys are out there shooting craps. You need just somebody to yell, like, stay on him, Matt. Stay on him, Matt.
Yeah.
Throw those craps.
Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas is a busy city.
Oh, it's one of the busiest. They call it the busy city. That's what it's known as.
You think I got time to worry about renting a car?
Oh, no. I need all this shit lined up for
me. Reservations at a restaurant?
I'm not even going to remember to eat, let alone where I'm eating.
Dry cleaning for
where
that.
Where are we staying?
Yeah.
What room are we in?
Yeah. Dry cleaning for that puke I got all over my shirt.
I puked all over my shark skin suit.
Yeah.
All over it.
Who's taking care of that?
Well, it's got to be my manager, the Mouth of the South. This guy. He's so nervous about all the trouble we're causing, man.
We're in the same... But, like, at the same
this
time...
This is why we party together well, because we know what you need for a good party.
At the same time, though,
uh-huh.
He's nervous, yeah. And, like, he's
so
going to keep
nervous.
His shit together. But at the same time, he's going to want to have fun with you.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, doing a line every once in a while. Like,
right. You can make him do stuff.
It's like, hey, we got the line, like, railed out on this chick's titties. Like, come
do
over
it.
Here.
It's going to be funny.
Come
do it.
Do it. And he's...
Well, I don't know. I got my wife back.
Got it.
Shut up,
little,
Jimmy. Just put your nose in it.
His little southern mustaches. Yeah. He's got a bunch of coke in it. Then it's funny.
Oh, man.
He's probably going to bring us outfits to wear, too, I would assume.
Right?
Just like, well, we got these matching airbrush jackets we're going to wear around. It's going to look great.
And he does...
He's got an airbrush hookup. I know it.
He's going to do one of my favorite things of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I love, absolutely love to tell people about how great I am.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I love when there's other people to do it for me.
I've never seen that happen.
Oh, you know.
This is a fantasy.
You've seen it.
This would be great.
When people go, Matt, you're the king. I love that shit.
Yeah, sure.
I love
that shit. Now that you mention it, I'm thinking back to all the times that happened.
And I got...
like, we're all high-fiving.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We start that Matt
you're the
chant.
King, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love that shit.
Yeah, sure.
And now I got a
call
guy.
Call you the king around town a lot.
Well, the Duke of Crown Point ain't number one. But we got fucking Jimmy Hart, and like, he's 3 feet ahead of us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just like hollering and... whooping it up,
sure.
Just letting everybody know who's coming mm-hmm. through. Like, here's the group, and they're all like, "Son of a bitch, this must
be
a big deal."
Handed a lot of escort cards.
This must be a really
I'll tell
big
you that
deal
right now. They're gonna see you coming a mile away, just handing you those cards.
Not above that.
No, few are, few are. So we got your crew wrapping it up here. We got Big Sexy Kevin Nash.
Mm-hmm.
We got Ravishing Rick Rude.
Correct.
Jimmy Hart and yourself just fucking rolling down.
Having
the strip.
A great time.
That sounds hot.
Who you got so far?
Okay.
You
got
yourself.
My big fat party animal.
Yep.
Andre the Giant.
Yep.
We got your nervous guy who's always worried about things going wrong.
But making
Jimmy
sure things
Hart.
Go right.
I feel like you got to have your average Joe who, like, the movie you're seeing through the eyes of. That's
mm-hmm.
going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be me. And then there's one more archetype you got to hit up. If you're making a movie about a bunch of bros going to Vegas,
can I take a guess?
Wrong, what is it? What is it?
Is it a wild man?
Well, yeah, in a sense, it's the sleaze bag who's doing something gross that's going to get you all in trouble. The person who's taking it too far to where you're just like, and now we've stepped out of the comfort zone of a party. And
I feel like I'm kind of that guy for my group.
Now we're
though.
In trouble.
Yeah, that's fine, though.
I can see you doing that. So I'm just like, who's sleazy? Who's down and dirty? Like, who's the guy that's going to be out there digging around in the underworld, like getting us involved in shit we don't want to? I think you're going to love the fourth member of my pick because it's the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant.
I struggled with that one. I thought about it. I thought about it.
The leader of street people. You know this guy has got all the hookups in Vegas. Like, not in the casinos, but like, you know, like the homeless people, like, yeah, outside of the casinos.
Nick Cage leaving Las Vegas, Vegas.
Absolutely. So, like, he's going to show you the real Vegas.
Why don't you stop breathing so much?
You're not doing the touristy Vegas shit when you're watching that. He's taking it like, oh, I know this. I know this S&M club. That,
this
like,
is
most
where the locals hang out.
And like, yeah,
this is where the townies go.
After everybody gets off work, this is where they go to get their balls whipped.
Yep.
And then like, we're going here. Before you know it, we're wrapped up in some sort of scheme where we've like ruined some drug dealer's like $100,000 worth of whatever. And
everybody,
like, he's got his goons trying to kill us.
Everybody
we're running
knows,
all around Vegas. It's a crazy show.
Everyone knows Andre the Giant wants his ball stomped on with stilettos.
Oh, nothing like better in his life than, you know, like a toilet seat that's big enough for him to shit on.
Yep.
And if you can't get that, just like have somebody stomp on my balls with
just
stilettos.
A young lady in a nice pair of stilettos.
Really gets me moving.
Oh, man, you son of a gun. I thought about that too.
So, yeah, I got me, Jimmy Hart, Andre,
he's a
and
good
Jimmy
guy.
Valiant.
He's a
I feel
good
like.
Guy.
Not the handsomest crew. I feel like you guys are probably going to be pulling in a lot more high quality, good looking ladies.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're going to be pulling in more ladies that just, you know, that know what's up. We're going to be pulling in the ladies that, like, they know all the tricks. They're going to be teaching us
tricks
stuff.
Tricks of the trade.
Tricks of the trade, man.
Ooh,
I might end up buried out in the desert.
Yeah.
This is going to be a gross trip to Vegas.
But hey, we both know.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Hart comes through.
Yeah.
You ain't going to be buried out there for too long,
thank
huh?
Thank God. What happens in Vegas will stay in Vegas.
I like that we both.
You're like, bringing Jimmy Hart with you?
We both had like ideas about like how you need to party and how you want to party. And they both like.
You can't
gave,
just go out there and party.
Gave,
you got to plan your party.
It, like, you know, like my two, like Rude and Vinny Vegas, and then you with Giant and Jimmy. Valiant, it gives you like a little bit of a little sneak behind the curtain of what makes you and I tick, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But at the same time, we're like, there's only one guy that can get us out of the trouble.
Oh, brother!
That we're gonna get into
most underrated
and it was,
manager.
Basically,
in the history of pro wrestling.
Basically, we couldn't bring Dave, so. We said,
"Hey, DDR Scheister is just far too panicky to deal with.
He's
things
all
that
panic.
Go wrong.
He's all panic.
Yeah, he's
no
all
cool.
Panic. No.
All panic. Uh-huh. No cool.
That would be a disaster.
Jimmy Hart
for him and us both. His marriage would be over.
Jimmy Hart is Dave if he learned to cool.
God bless him for getting us through the tough times and you know seeing us through the good.
The best and the worst, all there.
We got more podcasts coming up. This isn't ending anytime soon.
No.
No."
Yeah, I'll inform my my wife.
Okay. Next week, we're doing it. Baby Oil and Blow on film.
Is that next week?
The inaugural Baby Oil and Blow on film.
It's like Siskel and Ebert, but a lot more offensive.
And we're going to be watching Hulk Hogan starring
Hulk
in a Vince Hulk. McMahon production, co-starring that guy from Wayne's World.
Pile Driver.
And Zeus. No holds barred, motherfucker.
Ooh, snip.
So, you know,
snap.
Find that no holds barred. Give it a watch. Get ready to, you know, chat about it with us. It's going to be fun.
Man, we got
to
hype this up
back
on the
here,
social
we're
medias.
Do it. I'm thinking, like, this is going to be a first of many. Like, Baby Oil and Blow? This doesn't just have to be about wrestling.
No.
Action movies? They were all about Baby Oil and Blow. We could talk about myriad 80s action movies.
If there's
here.
Like some kind of wrestler connection.
Started out with a wrestler connection and we'll branch out. We'll see where we go.
Oh, I'm sorry. You think we're not going to watch Suburban Commando at some point?
We get tired of talking about
wrestling
all the time.
I was frozen today.
And then it's like, oh, if we're going to watch that, we might as well just watch Commando. Schwarzenegger's been on Raw a few times.
I'm sorry. Was he in a movie called Predator with Jesse the Body Ventura? There's your connection.
Oh, we're going to have a lot more.
There's your connection.
Oh, we're branching out. We're setting up franchises.
This is going to be huge. You're all going to love
setting up franchises here on this podcast.
Check it out.
What's it called?
It's called Baby Oil and Blow.